Okay, if you'd like to take your Bibles here, since I've gotten here, I'm kind of losing my voice, so Brother Randy, can you fill in if
five
to seven? Okay, thank you, sir. Amen. Okay, Revelation 2:18, we'll see how it goes here. All right, and then once you find your place there, as long as we're at Matthew 5:16, that was on my list. So let's hold that Matthew 5:16. I'd like to add that to our list. Okay, so let's go through this one twice. Actually, let's go through this one three times. the first time we've done it here, I know we did it this morning, but so let's go through it three times. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Then if we could go to Philippians 4:6-7. Philippians 4:6-7. And we'll just go through this one time. Okay. Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6-7. And then Isaiah 40:31. Okay, I'll go through this one time. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. Then Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10. Okay, I'll go through this one once. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. And then Habakkuk 3:18. Habakkuk 3:18. Okay, I go through this one once. Habakkuk 3:18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk 3:18. And then John 17:17. John 17:17. Go through this one once. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. John 17:17. And then Ephesians 4:15. Ephesians 4:15. Sorry, Brother Steve, I should preload these and a list. It'd be a lot easier on you. Okay, one time to this one. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 4:15. Okay, and then Proverbs 16:6. Proverbs 16:6. Thinking about truth, trying to get people the truth. Proverbs 16:6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Proverbs 16:6. And then Proverbs 22:21. Proverbs 22:21. One time through this. Proverbs 22:21. That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Proverbs 22:21. So we're thinking about revival. We want to get people the truth. Psalm 27:1. Psalm 27:1. One time through this, and we'll omit the heading there. Start with the Lord. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27:1. And then down to verse 11. Psalm 27:11. Psalm 27:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Psalm 27:11. And then verse 14. Psalm 27:14. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. And then James 1:19-20. James 1:19-20. Okay, let's see if we could back up to 19, I guess. Sorry. Okay, James 1:19-20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. James 1:19-20. And then verses 21 and 22. Okay, James 1:21-22. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1:21-22. And then a new one was turned in, 1 Corinthians 15:33. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Because this is a new one, let's do it twice more. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Okay, and then we already did Matthew 5:16. So, okay. All right. Appreciate these verses that you've turned in. And pray that God could use them in our lives. Okay, so let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. Pastor Jeremy, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Yes.
Father, thank you for that you've given to us, just for the opportunity once again to open your word, and pray you to speak to us as only you can in Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Okay, Revelation 2:18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Okay, we're down to verse 19. So last time we looked at, I know thy works. Now it's verse 19, I know thy works and charity. When you work with someone, you really begin to know their heart. Because you see them all day long, or if you're on a night shift, all night long, or part of the night anyway. And so you look at people, how they handle stress. You look at people, how they handle problems. You just look at people's general disposition. You know, when someone comes into work, are they generally in a bad mood or a good mood? Talkative mood or quiet? You know, people you work around, you know, the people that are kind of quiet, the people that are people persons and just like to talk. You learn a lot about them. You see their heart. Notice with me in Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 6. Proverbs 23, 6. The Bible says, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in what? His heart. So what? Is he. Eat and drink, saith he, to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. So when you work with someone, you begin to know their heart because you see them in all kinds of situations. Good days, bad days. Days where everything is going well and days where everything seems to be going bad. Matthew 6 and verse 21. Matthew 6, 21. For where your treasure is, there will what? Your heart be also. So in our conversations, when we work with someone, just when we fellowship with other people, we kind of let each other know where our heart is. I don't know if it was out witnessing or if I was at a store, but I think it was out witnessing. Someone on the kind of the back corner of his calf had tattooed a blue and yellow M. So where do you think his heart is? Yeah, with Michigan. But even apart from tattoos, we can tell where people's hearts are, can't we? You know, when we spend time with them, we know where their heart is. Look at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So when you work with someone, you begin to know their heart. When you work under someone, under a boss, you begin to know their heart. You see how they treat people. Look at Matthew 11. These verses are such a blessing to my heart. Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will what? Give you rest. Okay, how is he going to give us rest? Look at the next verse. He says, take my what?
Yoke.
Do you normally think of a yoke picturing rest? No, when we're not talking about egg yolks, you know, we're talking about the old yolks that hook two animals together to pull together. So that's work. So he says, verse 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me. Isn't that what we do? When we are working with people, that's how we learn of them. We see them in all different kinds of situations. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what? Rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he's saying, if you, verse 28, if you labor and are heavy laden, I have just the thing for you. Come and work with me. Come and get in the yoke with me. And you will learn of me. And you notice there what he says in the last, well, let's read verse 29 all together. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto what? Your souls. You know, a lot of our physical unrest, sometimes, not always, may come from a turmoil deeper within just the physical. Now, if you cleaned the road yesterday, you were probably a little tired after the end of it. So you had physical tiredness. But sometimes at night, you might not be able to sleep, and it's not because of a physical problem. It's just something else is bothering you. Sometimes you don't even know what is. But he says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's just nothing else in life that I've found that can give greater peace than serving God. And I know you found the same thing. There's just nothing that gives greater peace than serving the Lord. He invites us. And you know what we find? He says, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And that's what we find, is that he's meek and lowly. There's so many people in this world that think Jesus is a hard taskmaster. That's false, isn't it? When Jesus is your Savior and when you set out to serve him, we learn really quick he's not a hard taskmaster. He is a very gracious Savior. Notice with me in Matthew 20, he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Matthew 20 and verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be what? Your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be what? Your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So what is so encouraging is that Jesus is a master. Jesus is a boss that never asks us to do something that he's not with us. Where can you find that? You know, there will be bosses sometimes that will tell you to do a job because they don't want to do it. Jesus is not like that. He's always with us. Notice in chapter 28, Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then what does he say? Go ye therefore. And your first thought, you may say, well, why? He's saying he has all power in heaven and earth. And then why is he asking me to go? Because I don't have any power in this earth or heaven. I'm weak, frail. But read on. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, what? I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Yesterday, it was Brother Steve and I, we went out, right, yesterday when the dog come out. And now when we go out witnessing, it's really convenient if Brother Jesse, if it's his turn when there's a dog. because he's the dog guy, you know. And so we drove into this yard, and it said, dog on premises, I think it said. And so I didn't hear any barking, and I didn't hear any other volunteers. It was me and Brother Steve's turn. So I thought, okay, well, here goes. And so we went out. It was Brother Steve's turn to knock on the door. And he knocked once. No sign of a dog. He knocked twice. Here come the dog. Do you know what kind of a dog that was?
Mean.
He was one of those broader ones. I don't know pit bulls from boxers from whatever, you know. I don't know what it was. But, it was come up there barking at us, and then the lady comes out, and I could see she was watching the dog. She was concerned. And so then, but she got the dog to go in the house. And so no one else was with us, but Jesus was with Brother Steve and me with that dog. Jesus was with us. It says there, verse 20, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm probably just a little paranoid about dogs because there's a guy, he's with the Lord now, but years ago, he had a German Shepherd and some other dog, but the German Shepherd bit me, and it bit another man that worked for him who was a missionary builder. So he thought it was funny. He says, my dog only bites preachers. I mean, he really thought it was funny. So that's probably why I'm, paranoid today about dogs. But Jesus is with us. So he has all power, and he says go. And he's always with us. So it's not Jesus sitting in the car saying, go on, go, go. He's right there with us, no matter what we're doing. Now, you may not have any problem with dogs. It might be something else that terrifies you. You know what? Jesus is with us. For my wife's mom, storms terrified her because years ago in Cedar Springs, a tornado went through there, and it just terrified her. And after that, she was terrified of storms. But Jesus was with her through the storms. So let's go back to Revelation 2. Revelation 2. And verse 19. So he says, I know thy works and charity. Charity. Thy works and thy charity. Charity is a love that gives for nothing in return. It's a love that freely gives. And God will reward all those things done in love. Notice in Hebrews 6, those things which are done according to his will and for his glory, he will reward. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget what?
Your work
and labor of what? Of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. We've seen that so many times in Matthew 25, the judgment of the nations. When the Lord comes back to set up his kingdom, how is he going to show to the world who's his children? He's going to point out the ones who have labored in his name and helping others in his name. That's how he's going to illustrate it. Notice in Acts chapter 20. And as we labor for the Lord, our love for him grows. In Acts 20 and verse 35. Acts 20 and verse 35. Brother Needham was telling about preaching on tithing over there in Cameroon and how there was a man who decided to tithe. This was the first time. And he was short on something, and God just miraculously worked it out. And the guy was just praising God. In Acts 20, 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to what? To give than what? To receive. So, back in Revelation 2, so Jesus saw the works of this church. and in Thyatira. And in Revelation 2:19, he said, I know thy works and charity. He saw their love. But remember the warning he gave to the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2:1. Revelation 2:1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience. What was missing? It didn't say love that time, did it? I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left, what? Thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. What was he saying? What was different? The love was missing. The love was missing. So we're praying for revival. And so here's a point for us to ponder. As we pray for revival, have we lost the love in our service for Christ? He says in Revelation 2:5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. So we're not talking about falling from salvation. We can't fall from our salvation, but we can fall from our first love. We can fall from our first love with Christ, ceasing to do things that please him. It's the same thing with our earthly relationships. If we're not careful, that's what always happens to us. We lose that first love. We lose that willingness to serve, that joy to serve. So that's why we need revival in our hearts. 1 Corinthians 13, it's known as the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13, 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not, what? Charity. I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So the greatest orator, the greatest speaker on earth that can keep people spellbound for hours, maybe an hour, that person may be able to spellbound crowds, but if it's not done in love, it's nothing. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not what? Charity, I am what? Nothing. I may have many verses memorized. I may have great knowledge of this or that prophecy. May be able to, as it says, remove mountains by prayer. But if I'm not doing it with love, with charity, it's nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not what? Charity, it profiteth me what? Nothing. We can do all three of these things, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, but if it's not done with charity, in the end, it's not going to profit us. We're talking about eternity. We're not talking about losing salvation. We're talking about losing eternal rewards. Notice in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 3 and 13. 1 Corinthians 3, 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Manifest means shown. Made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try what? Every man's work. So it's not us. It's not Christians facing the fire. It's our works. It says if any man's, the fire, 13, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That is an important word, that four-letter word, sort. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive what? A reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be what? Saved, yet so as by fire. So this clearly is not talking about losing our salvation. It's talking about losing rewards if we don't do something in the right motive, the right heart. It's got to be the right sort. I think if a poll could be taken in heaven right after the judgment seat, and thankfully the news media will not be there. Well, I mean, hopefully those people will get saved, but I mean, news media companies will not be there. You know, hey, could I have an interview? You know, you've just been through the judgment seat of Christ. You know, what was it like? But if someone could take a poll as we leave that scene, what verses of Scripture do you think they might wish they would have paid more attention to? Well, with me, I think about these. To me, the judgment seat of Christ is like every student's dream. Never take a test, kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. Never face a test but one, and that's at the end. Of everything you've learned or not learned, how well do you think we would do on a test like that? Not very good. Why? Because we're prone to procrastination. You know, if we were never asked, did you read those 1,000 pages? Did you read the textbook? Did you do that homework assignment? You know, did you do the study review? Well, what if you had to answer that at the very end? But no, I didn't. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. But this isn't fair to lay all this on me at the end. You know what? We have great freedom, don't we? But we have great responsibility with it because we're going to face it at the judgment seat of Christ. And I think about it, you know, I think at a time like this in 1 Corinthians 3, 13 through 15, I think we're going to hear, oh, why did I complain? Why did I complain when I was asked to do that? Why did I murmur? Why did I act grumpy because I had to do this or that? Because we're going to see those things go through the fire because they're not of the right sort. And just imagine, notice with me in Isaiah chapter 29, Isaiah 29 in verse 24. Isaiah 29:24. Isaiah 29:24. And the Bible says, they also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that what? Murmured shall learn what? Doctrine. You know, when we murmur, we're not thinking about doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is teaching. In our case, it's Bible teaching. It's Bible doctrine, so it's Bible teaching. When we murmur, we are not thinking about Bible doctrine. Notice with me in Philippians 2:14. The Bible says, do all things without what? Murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as what? Lights. As lights in the world. You know, the world complains about everything. Have you noticed? But it's easy to get right in with it, isn't it? It's easy to join them. What if you saw a little child that kept walking back and forth, and you were reading a book or you were doing something, and so, you know, out of the corner of your eye, you're seeing this little child pick up things and walking over to the storm sewer drain. And the child would go back and grab something else and walk over here and the child would come back, and you just thought, oh, probably it's stones, you know. Child comes back, and But you figure out, you know, really, I should probably investigate what the child is doing. So you go over there and you see his mommy's purse is open. And her coin purse is open. And you see the child just dropping another one in. No, don't do that. Don't do that. And you know what the child says? Piggy bank. Piggy bank. He said, no, no, that's not a piggy bank. That's a storm drain. It may have slots in it, but it's not a piggy bank. The little child doesn't comprehend at all. Piggy bank. He still smiles. Piggy bank. Piggy bank. But you know, I'm afraid we're the same way. You know, every time we murmur and complain, and we think, you know, someone asks us to do something, and so we're thinking, I don't want to do this, but I got to do it. So the Lord will bless me anyway. So we think we're laying up treasures in heaven. We think, you know, so somebody else asks us to do something and you know, grumble and complain. But we do it because we know we have to. And so we think, boy, is my bank account doing well. We think so. But you know, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, you know, all these things are going to come through the fire. And all those things that we thought were, uh-oh. Boy, our account must be so full, it's pouring out now, running over. But those things that we think, what we murmured, we're going to find out are That's what we're going to find out. And let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. How much do we think we're really dropping in our piggy bank in heaven? And it's going right down the storm sewer. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive what? A reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer what? Loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The key is back in verse 13. What sort is it? What sort? The child, you know, it's kind of amusing to us to think about a child. It wouldn't be amusing to mom. I don't know how much change got dumped down the storm sewer. But I pray that we would think. The next time we're called upon to do something, maybe it's our boss at work, and we're tempted to grumble. I pray we'd think about, if we really want, whoops, yep, it's so full. There, that one looked. I really pray that God would help us to think. Every time, let's go back to Isaiah 29, 24. Isaiah 29, 24. Isaiah 29:24. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that what? Murmured shall what? Learn doctrine. What doctrine have we learned tonight? We've learned that if we don't serve the Lord with love, if we don't have the right sort or attitude, or if our heart is not really in it, we're dropping all those things right in the storm drain. So it should be a wake up. Okay, there's something before me I'm asked to do, or I know I need to do. Do I want it to go down the storm drain? Am I any different than the child? Is that where my whole life is going? Is plop, plop, plop in the storm drain? Or am I really laying up treasures in heaven? So much that the cup is full and pouring out. What am I really doing in my life? They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding. Isn't that the problem with the child? The child, piggy bank, piggy bank. The child is simple. The child needs to come to understanding. And they that murmured shall learn doctrine. That's what we need to do. Life is so short. Let's spend it laying up treasures in heaven and not watch it all go down the storm drain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would help us. Lord, help us to, whenever we think about murmuring or complaining, help us to think. Do we want to hear the kerplop, or do we want to hear an actual saving of the reward? Lord, please help us. Help us to shine as lights in this dark world. The world is full of complaining. Lord, help us to be different. Lord, I pray that we would not be at the judgment seat of Christ and just watch our whole lives, all that we've done, just go up in smoke. I pray that we could see some true rewards, some true crowns come out of those flames, come through. So, Lord, please work in our hearts. And, Father, if there should be any here tonight who do not know you as Savior, help them to realize that every day of their lives is a drop in the storm sewer, counting for nothing, and we'll all be carried away in the end, and we'll spend an eternity in the lake of fire. The storm drain eventually comes out in the lake, the sea. Father, I pray you'd help me to realize that Jesus is the Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect sinless life and died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree, was buried and rose again in victory from the grave, and now wants to save them. Father, I pray no one would reject you. What an offer is before us, but to reject it is an eternity of suffering, as well as a life of no peace. You tell us there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Living for this world, we know, Father, there's no peace. Lord, please work in our hearts. We're praying for revival, a great awakening. Lord, touch our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.